Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, we are thankful for the opportunity to meet together this morning, to worship you here in this place, to celebrate through this month the birth of Jesus, our Savior who came to this world to die and pay for our sins on the cross, who rose from the dead, and who is coming back again one day. We celebrate as we look at the first coming of Jesus, and it reminds us of the second coming, which is yet to come. And we are thankful for those and the many other blessings which you give us besides. It's my prayer this morning that you would be our teacher this morning through your word this morning. Give me the words to say. Give us all hearts and minds that are ready to hear your word and to apply its truths to our life, that we may live a life that is pleasing to you and that we would grow closer in our relationship to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask that. Amen. Well, today I'd like to bring a message titled, Hope for the Holidays. Hope for the Holidays. Many of our Christian brethren celebrate Advent this time of year. It's the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas, and each week has a certain theme to it. Those themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. And so a lot of churches have that as a theme for those particular weeks. And being mindful of that, I thought of hope. This being the first week of that Advent season, the theme would be hope. So hope. Hope in regards to Jesus' first coming and all that that means to us. And so as I thought about hope, that drew me to a certain passage in Ezekiel chapter 37. That's not a traditional Christmas passage, but it fits the theme of hope. And it's a passage I think you're familiar with. We'll look at that in a moment. Hope. The holidays can be a very hopeful time. It can also be a time when people lose hope many times during the holidays. If folks have suffered a particularly grievous loss during the year, the holidays can be kind of bittersweet sometimes. And some of our situations in life, we may be wondering if there's hope beyond whatever has happened. Loss of a loved one, a divorce, a loss of a job, something catastrophic that has happened in our life. What now is always the question. Where do I go now? What do I do now? What's the answer now? Is there hope beyond what has happened to me? And of course, the answer we find in Scripture is yes, there is hope for us. Regardless of what our circumstances have been, God has a word of hope for us. And that is what reminded me of this passage, Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel the prophet was also a priest, but he was a prophet as well. And he and the children of Israel were in exile when he wrote these words in the land of Babylon. God had told the children of Israel repeatedly through previous prophets that if you do not cease from your idolatry, you are going into exile. And they did not cease from their idolatry, and they went into exile. And that's where they were at the time that Ezekiel wrote this. They were in exile in the land of Babylon. So, of course, they didn't see much hope in that situation. They were captives. Their land was gone. Their previous occupations were gone. Everything was gone. They were captives, slaves in a foreign land. Not much hope in that situation. And so Ezekiel was called by God to speak to the children of Israel living in that circumstance. And here we find words of hope that God told Ezekiel to give to the children of Israel. It's a vision, and then there's an explanation of the vision at the end. So let's read together Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to the bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Indeed, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. A word of hope to those who felt hopeless. A word of life to those who saw themselves as dead. God has hope for us. And here in this passage, Ezekiel was given three keys to hope for Israel, and I believe those keys apply to us today as well, when we find ourselves in a hopeless situation. The keys that bring hope to us today are the source of hope, the word of hope, and the plan of hope. The first key is the source of hope. We see that in the first three verses of our passage today. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Here we see Ezekiel, and God brought him out to a place and gave him a vision of a valley that was full of bones. Now, those of you who have been to the mountains know what the valley looks like. If you've been to the Smoky Mountains or maybe even the Rocky Mountains, you'd see even bigger things out there. I've never been to the Rockies, but I've been to the Smoky Mountains, and it's an awesome thing to look out, and you see, if you can get up on top of one of the mountains and then look out, and you see these big mountains and then the big valley that's down in between the mountains. And so God showed him a big valley, but that big valley was full of bones. This was an army that had been killed and defeated, left laying in the sun to bleach the bones out in the valley. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. So he showed him all around the valley, all the bones all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Back then, casualties were high in a war. The whole tactic was to see who could get the most number of people, and if you had any left at the end, you won. That's kind of how they did things back then. So there were a lot of them there in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. He mentions that specifically. They're very dry. This was not, you know, if somebody has just had a heart attack, you might be able to do CPR and resuscitate them. There might be some hope there. If it's just recent, but after it passes a certain amount of time, there's not really anything you can do. And they had been there so long that not only was there no flesh on the bones, but the bones were dried out. Not even any marrow in the bones anymore. Just dried out, dead bones. And he said to me, now here's the question, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, in the natural, of course, the answer would be, no, of course not. They've been dead a long time. There's nothing that can be done for them. But Ezekiel was a little smarter than that. And he said, so I answered, O Lord, you know. I think he realized that God was about to tell him something. He might not have been sure what that was about to be, but he knew that God was about to tell him something. And so he was looking to God for the answer to that question. God asked the question. Ezekiel looked to God for the answer to the question. There was a hopeless outlook, the very dry bones, the bones that in the natural, nobody could do anything for them. They were gone. But then there was a hopeful question. Can these bones live? And that question, I think, sparked in Ezekiel's mind, oh, wait, maybe there is some hope here. I don't know what that is, but God knows what that is. So he said, Lord, you know. You know what the answer is to that question. He went to the right source to find hope. God knows the answer to your question. You may not know the answer to your question. Your friends may not know the answer to your question. Your family might not know the answer to your question. But God knows the answer to your question. He knows the solution to your situation. He is the source of our hope. Now, having good friends to go to for advice, that's a good thing. I'm not against that at all. I think that's good. Having family members that you can go to for advice, that's good. But God is our ultimate source of hope. He knows more than the wisest person on this earth could ever know. He knows what has happened in the past. He knows what is going on right now. And he knows what's going to be the outcome in the future. He has the answer for your questions and for your situation. And so the hopeful answer there, Lord, you know. He had hope that God knew the answer even though he did not. Sometimes we're tempted to ask that question, is there any hope? Can these bones live? Can anything come out of this dead situation? Is it totally hopeless? Is it totally gone? God has the answer to that question. We need to go to him to find answers in our life. God has the answer. Go to him for your answer. The second key to hope is the word of hope. God gave Ezekiel some words here. And we see those in verses 4 through 10. There's this whole vision here. Now, let's walk through this for a moment and really get an idea of what's going on. It says, and again he said to me, prophesy to the bones, go preach to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You probably remember that song, Ezekiel cried them dry bones. Yeah, that's where the song came from, was this passage right here, okay? And so God tells him to preach to dead, dry bones. Now, Ezekiel didn't know how this was going to turn out, so this might have seemed like an odd request to him at the time, don't you think? God wants him to preach to bones. You know, that'd be like going out and preaching out to the cemetery. You know, on the surface, that might seem like an odd thing. I don't know what's going to happen from that, but that's what God told him to do. Prophesy to the bones, go say to them, and he gave him specific things to say, old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So God told him very specifically, here's what I want you to say to the bones. Details there. And so he says, I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, sometimes if we don't understand what God has for us, sometimes we're tempted not to do it, or if it seems kind of weird, we're kind of hesitant. But we don't see that in Ezekiel. He wasn't hesitant to do what God asked him to do, even though it was something very unusual, something out of the ordinary, something he wasn't sure was going to happen here. He just did it. And that's the appropriate response. When God tells us to do something, even if it seems weird or out of the ordinary or unusual or, you know, who knows what, just do it. Just go with it. Because God's got a plan in mind. So I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Something was happening. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. That's part of that song, the foot bones connected to the leg bone and all that. You know, that here it goes. That's what's happening here. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came on them. So the bones came together, then all the flesh came on them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Okay, so here they are. The bodies are all assembled now, but they're not alive yet. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So here we go. Now he's talking to the breath, to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So he does that too. So he prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So these were not zombies, okay? We hear all this zombie stuff now. This was not zombies. These were fully, complete, healthy people, alive, an army ready to fight. They weren't just hanging on. They weren't just dragging along. This was an army that God assembled from dead bones. There was the word of hope. Ezekiel heard God's word. He was listening to what God had to say to him. You know, God speaks to us most when we are ready to listen, when we're ready to hear what he has to say. We don't determine what God says. We're just ready when he does say it to listen. And when we do, God reveals things to us. And he did to Ezekiel. And then there was obeying God's word. He just did what God said. And then there was applying the word. This word that God said was applied directly to the situation at hand. We should read God's word all the time. We should hear God's word preached as much as possible. But it will not do us any good if we do not apply it and put it to use in the situations in our life. You can know the Bible backwards and forwards and upside down and inside out, but it doesn't do any good if you don't put it to use. What if God had come to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, preach to the bones. He's like, all right. And he memorizes the message. He writes it down. But then he just sits there and doesn't do anything. Well, nothing would have happened. But when he did it, when he put it to use the way God wanted him to do it, things started to happen. Life started to happen. Hope started to come into play. Applying God's word is so important. So how do we know what God wants us to do? Where do we find the answers that God has for us? Right there in the book. That's where we go. God has spoken. It's recorded here. And we can go and look at it and find answers we need for our life. There might be, for whatever situation you're facing, something exactly that matches what you're going through in there. Something that speaks directly to it. You might be in a circumstance that there's not a passage that speaks directly to it, but there are principles in the scripture that you can use and apply it to your situation, and it will be a blessing to you. So we must be diligent to search the scriptures, to learn the scriptures, to know them, and to put them to use in our life. That works best when we daily spend time in God's word, alone with him, learning it. And even if it's something that we don't need right now, we might need it later. And God can bring that back to our remembrance when it's the right time. And then we can put it into action. People say that the Bible's a bunch of fairy tales, that it's a myth, that it's irrelevant for today's world. But I beg to differ. These are timeless truths. Oh, the circumstances are different now. We have lots of cool technical gadgets now that they didn't have back then. But the truths still apply today. And we can put it to use in our lives and find God's answer for our lives right here. And you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go to seminary to do it. You just have to be listening for what God has to say and read His Word prayerfully. The third key to hope is the plan of hope. The plan. We see what happened here in this vision, but then God is going to explain the vision to Ezekiel. What does all this mean? Okay, this is cool seeing all this stuff go on, but what now? What does that mean? Why did God show me this? Well, God tells him why He showed him this. In verses 11 through 14, it says, "Then He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.'" Those bones represented Israel. "They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off.'" This is what they'd been saying amongst themselves. They'd been kind of lamenting this whole situation. We're cut off, our bones are dried up, hope is lost, woe is me. And God had heard this. You know, He hears what we say all the time. You know that, don't you? And He heard them. And He gave Ezekiel a vision that matched exactly what they were saying amongst themselves. And so these bones were a picture of what the people had been saying. "Therefore prophesy and say to them." Now He's got something to say to them. "Thus says the Lord God, 'Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you to the land of Israel.'" Now that Ezekiel had preached God's word and saw the bones come together and come to life because he just simply said what God told him to say, don't you think that gave him some confidence to go out and face the live Israelites who were upset and worried and concerned that when he preached to them? Don't you think that would give him reason to believe, you know, God's going to do something for them too? They're already alive. They're not in as bad shape as the bones I just preached to. Surely God's got something for them. And God did have something for them. He says, "Oh, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you to the land of Israel." This has all kinds of implications. Of course, they were physically alive. This is a spiritual condition, as well as a political condition that they were in. Politically, their nation was in exile. They didn't have a homeland. Their nation was gone and dead, but God was going to bring them back. Spiritually, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. That's what got them in exile in the first place. But God was going to bring them spiritual life as well. And that's the main thrust of it. "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." How do we know the Lord? When He brings us back to life. When He brings life into our dead spirits that are dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins before we find Christ. But once we find Christ, He quickens us. He brings us to life. New life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Begins the moment when you are saved and continues forever. It is eternal. It does not end. It's not conditional. It's not temporary. It is eternal life that God gives through Jesus. "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves." God was about to bring them some life. "I will put my spirit in you." Did you know that that happens when you get saved? God puts His spirit in you. It's not something else that happens to you at a different time. God puts His spirit in you when He brings you eternal life. Right then, boom, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and lives in there. "I will put my spirit in you and you shall live." You know, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to live. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit residing within you now. and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. There is the hopeful process. God was planning to bring salvation to Israel. As we read the other scriptures through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, we know that he did that through the Messiah who was to come to restore Israel. The passages in front of this passage in Ezekiel and after this passage in Ezekiel, he mentions that God is going to send the Redeemer for them. Even though they were in this terrible spot and they brought it on themselves, God loved them enough to save them out of their own trouble that they got their own self into. He does the same today. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. We all deserve that. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us enough that even though we've messed things up, he wants to come in and save us and fix it and give us eternal life. And that comes through Jesus, the Messiah, who did come. We celebrate his first coming at Christmas time. When he came to this world, he was born in the manger. And he grew and ministered and talked and walked and did miracles while he was here on the earth. And then we celebrate Easter later on when Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He took the punishment we deserved, but then he rose from the dead, proving that he can give eternal life to all who will turn from their sins and put their faith in him. That's the good news. That's the first advent, the first coming. And of course, the first coming reminds us that he's coming back again. There's hope for us today. There's hope for eternal life, and there is hope for our earthly life. God wants to give us blessings in the here and now, and also in the hereafter. He's got a plan for us. And it's centered on the hopeful person, Jesus. Notice that God calls Ezekiel Son of Man. That's interesting because Jesus called himself the Son of Man also. And I believe Jesus did that purposefully because the people knew the prophecies of Ezekiel. And Jesus, that was his way of telling them, I'm the one he was talking about back then. It's an interesting picture here. The Son of Man speaks to the dead bones and they come to life. That's fulfilled in Christ, is it not? The Son of Man who has come speaks to us and brings life to our dead spirits, gives us eternal life. That's what he came for. That's why we celebrate. The hopeful promise. Ezekiel was looking forward to the first coming of Christ. We still look forward to the second coming of Christ. There's hope there. It gets better and better and better. There's a resurrection day coming in 1 Thessalonians 13. We're told of the rapture, the day when Christ is going to return and the dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are alive will be gathered and meet them together in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. I look forward to seeing family on the holidays, but this is going to be a whole lot better than that. You'll get to see them all of them that's going forward to heaven, those that believe in Jesus, they're going to be there together. We'll get to see them all and be together with him forever. That's hope, isn't it? Hope. Hope for the future. Hope for our future. And then even beyond that, in the book of Revelation, it talks about when Jesus comes to earth to rule and to reign, literally, physically, on the earth. And guess who gets to come with him? We do. Those who believe in Jesus get to come and rule and reign with him. That's hope, is it not? No matter what happens to you in this life, God's got a whole lot planned for you in the next. That's hope. That is hope. we anticipate our loved ones coming for the holidays and all the good things that happen around that. But, oh, this is going to be so much better than anything we could ever have here on the earth. Forget Santa Claus. Think about Jesus and what he's bringing with him, right? He's bringing eternal life, and he's bringing all of our loved ones with him too. And so many things that come with that. Yes, there is hope for the holidays. No matter what our circumstances are. Because the reason for the season is Jesus, and he has come, and he offers eternal life for all who will believe. Anybody. Everybody. Who will turn from their sins and put their faith in Jesus can have eternal life for the asking. Find the source of hope. Look to God for answers. Hope in the here and now. He walks with us through this life. And hope for the hereafter. He takes us on into the hereafter, the next life to come. Hear the word of hope. Listen to what God has to say to you in the scripture and apply it to your life. Join the plan of hope. Get in on God's plan for your life. It's my hope that everyone here has accepted Jesus as their Savior. But if you haven't, today's the day. Receive Him as your Savior. Get in on God's plan for your life. You can receive eternal life today. And those who have, sometimes we're tempted and we veer off the path that God has for us. But, you know, God allows U-turns. We can go to God and we can confess our sins and we can find forgiveness and get back on track where God wants us to be. So let's go to God for hope for the holidays. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful for the hope that you give us in your word. The hope that you have provided through Jesus who died to pay for our sins on the cross. It's my hope and prayer this morning that if there's one listening here that does not know Jesus, that they would pray right now and just ask you to forgive them for their sins and ask you to come into their heart and take control of their life, and that they would mean that, and that today they would just begin following you and they would find that eternal life starting right now, today. Lord, it's my prayer for those who may have some hurts going into the holidays. Lord, you can heal our hurts. You know what's going on in our life. And you can take us through it. You can walk us through those hurts. You can heal the wounds. You can bind us up. You can strengthen us and give us hope for the future in this life and in the life to come. So, Lord, it's my prayer that you'd bring comfort to those who may be heartbroken. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring happiness and blessing to all of us this season as we remember your great gift of eternal life through Jesus to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen.